Greetings, this is Michael Nagler with Nonviolence in the News. This is early September 2015, and the next time I am reporting to you, I'll be able to tell you about my talk at the High-Level Commission of the United Nations on the Culture of Peace. But for now, I'd like to share a few resources that are coming online or have been, and some events that are coming up in the near future around the world. And finally, a couple of successes that nonviolence has achieved recently. So for resources, I'm happy to report, and this is brand new, a collaboration between Rutgers University and the International Center on Nonviolent Conflict is going to create a database of training materials for nonviolence, something that should be very, very useful, and we at the Meta Center will be involved in the near future. There's an awfully nice book that's come out called Peace Primer, Roman II, Sources and Essays on Judaism, Christianity, and Islam through the lens of applied nonviolence. It's an awfully long URL, but I think if you look up Peace Primer II or Rabbi Lynn Gottlieb, you will be able to download that as a free PDF. I've read it, and it's just very inspiring to see how the three Abrahamic faiths are really centered on nonviolence and peace. And one more resource, we have reported often on the fact that there is a nonviolent movement still going on in Syria against impossible odds. Well, the latest issue of the New Internationalist, a journal which I get a lot out of and I'd really highly recommend it, is called The Good Guys in Syria, or something like that, and it's all about how people are struggling against almost the worst possible circumstances. I'm going to be talking about one that's a little bit worse in Syria, to keep some kind of civil resistance civil and moving in that country. And this leads me to think that there's been a lot of coverage of the, quote, migrant, unquote, crisis. It used to be called refugees, but we don't want to give them that kind of status. We're now calling them migrants, which is a big mistake. But in all of the coverage that I've seen in the mass media, there's been almost no recognition, just glancing recognition, of why these people in their millions, 7 million from Syria alone, that's about 20% of the country, is in either internal or external exile. Why they're fleeing? They're fleeing because of war. And we should be using this as an opportunity to engage some of those refugees themselves, hear their stories, and give them some way to work against the war system. And listeners, if you have any ideas or concrete things that can be done, please let us know. So let me turn now to some of the events that are coming up. You know that Pace Bene, that Franciscan organization, has developed what they're calling Campaign Nonviolence. It's been going on a couple of years now. And you know that this month, September, and particularly around September 21st, the International Day of Peace, so declared, I believe, by the UN, they are calling for events around the country and the world. And so far, 235 communities have registered with CNV, Campaign Nonviolence, and said that they're going to be carrying on an event of some kind in that week of September 21st. What I've been recommending to my friends in CNV is that they start to shape things into a concerted strategy, just so you know. Now, next month, October 14th, there's a big day planned for climate action. And if you were to go on to peoplesclimate.org/actions/map, you can see where events are planned around the U.S. And, of course, what they're leading up to is the Paris climate talks that are coming pretty soon. But it looks like October 14th is going to be pretty exciting in this country around climate change. Also want to mention that Peace Brigades International, which is one of the earliest organizations doing unarmed civilian peacekeeping, is recruiting field volunteers right now for Kenya and Honduras. And if you're interested, or you know someone who is, send an email to amelia@pbiusa.org. Now, in Edinburgh, there's a big arms fair that takes place every year, the Defense and Security Equipment International. And you'll notice that whenever we're talking about war, armaments, torture, there's always going to be euphemisms. So the defense and security, it is useless for both, but they call it that anyway. So DSEI, this brings representatives from the world's most oppressive regimes together in one place to sell military weapons, including those from Israel, Russia, and Saudi Arabia. And it's held at an exhibition center in London's Docklands. They expect, get this, 32,000 visitors from 150 delegations from over 60 countries. But critics of DSI are planning a series of protests. And with the United States as the world's largest weapons exporter, DSEI's website states that American weapons manufacturers, that would include Boeing, Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, and Raytheon, have booked a significant amount of space at DSEI. 190 firms going to be using that space. So this is my opportunity to share with you an idea that I've had for a long time. Yes, it's good to protest these things, but one of the most effective protests would be to go across the street and set up a peace fair and talk about all the technologies of unarmed civilian peacekeeping, restorative justice, alternative economies, constructive program, all the things that people are doing for peace, and just put it there as an alternative. That would be quite startling, I think, in particular and in general. The idea that there could be alternatives to war making would be really eye-opening to some people. And I'm reminded of a story of a military officer who heard from a friend of mine that she was going to Washington, D.C. to talk about the United States Institute of Peace. And she thought he'd be pretty scornful. But in reality, he looked up and said, "Please hurry." Now, one of the things you might want to exhibit there would be the Global Youth Peace Forum. That's the Global Youth Peace Festival, GYPF. And for this year, it'll take place again starting in September 29th to October 2nd, Gandhi's birthday. And it'll take place primarily in Chandigarh, India. But there will be 250 youngsters from all over the world, almost all from the Global South, actually. ASEAN countries, African countries, and then some from Russia, Kazakhstan, USA. We're not in the Global South. And Venezuela, and so forth. So those are some of the events that will be coming up in the next few weeks in this very active peace planet of ours. So I wanted to talk about two successes that we've logged recently. They're both against various forms of torture. The first is interrogations. You may be aware that there was a scandalous report on the American Psychological Association's participation in, quote, enhanced interrogations. And the organization, to its credit, has now made a formal declaration that that kind of participation by members of APA is not allowable. So if they participate, they are debarred from the APA. I think that's probably about the most encouraging thing I've heard about education, about formal education, for a long time. And finally, people have also made a breakthrough against solitary confinement, which is a terrible event or institution taking place in American prisons. Now, of course, it's not called solitary confinement. No, it's called special housing units. And one person in particular, Gabriel Reyes, has spent more than 17 years living in a solitary cell, denied access to direct sunlight, physical contact with another person, no rehabilitation, no education programs, can't even get phone calls from his family. And Gabriel said, unless you have lived it, you cannot imagine what it feels like to be by yourself. And he's a lucky one that he's still sane and still alive. But somehow inmates were able to coordinate by talking through pipes or yelling from cell to cell. And Gabriel and 9 other inmates, who have each spent more than a decade in solitary, launched 2 hunger strikes. Now, fasting or hunger strikes are a little bit more subtle than people think they are. There's a right way and a wrong way to do that. But I think in this case, it certainly fits the bill of a perfectly appropriate technique. And eventually, these 11 people were joined by 12,000 inmates across California in the hunger striking. And they gained significant reduction in the time and the number of people that are going to be put into solitary. Interestingly enough, there's no evidence that the use of solitary confinement makes prisons safer. And still, we have about 80,000 inmates currently in solitary units around the country. Such is the logic of violence. We adopt it even when logic tells us it doesn't work, and we fail to adopt nonviolence, even though we now have very good scientific evidence, as well as our own intuition, that it works beautifully. So that is the news for this segment of Peace Paradigm Radio, and we will be back with you in a couple of weeks for much more encouraging and inspiring events. Thanks very much.